This programme was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamotu, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Welcome to Manawatu Conversations, recollections of the past and sometimes opinions about the future. Today we have with us...
Ivan Ellett.
Muriel Ellett.
And I'm Stuart Burks. Okay, now Ivan, you were talking about in the, 1940s and 1950s.
So we, you know, as I said earlier, I had one pair of shoes. Good, bad, all, yeah. You know. Mm. And they were worn out by the time I was finished with them.
That's unusual, because often for growing kids, you just grow out of them all day.
Well, I repaired my own shoes when I was... I possibly wouldn't have been more than 13. Actually repaired, put new soles on.
Yeah, I was going to say, in those days, you'd resole shoes. Now they're made so once the soles are gone, you can't...
I'd have done that a number of times.
Yeah.
Gone to the shop, bought the leather, a piece of leather, and sold my own shoes. I don't know what they looked like. Now, in retrospect, they must have been awful.
Well, I mean, they also, you could get the, in England at least, the sort of, was it rubber or something that you can glue onto
that's
the...
That's right, you could, But I never did that, but I certainly on a number of occasions, actually, and you tacked them on.
Yeah.
You couldn't, you know, there's no, you couldn't sew them on or anything like that. So I repaired my own shoes and by tacking them on. Fortunately, we had a last and things to at home to.
The three, four different shoe shape things sticking out.
Heel and toe plate.
That's right.
Heel and toe plates on.
Yeah.
To try and stop some of the wear. So, and even things like darning socks and. If you have got holes in your socks, my mother would give you the wool, and you knew where the wool was, and you knew where the cone was. There was a mushroom thing. You got two, and you darned your socks.
And the old style of putting patches on your elbows, so you don't wear.
The wool leg, if it was a cardigan or a jersey or something like a jersey, you'd have to do it. You'd darn it. But it was like that, and certainly nothing was plentiful.
Do you think that has changed or affected your attitude in adult life, attitude to money? And
I think it quite definitely has. No doubt I'm possibly being quite stingy in life to a large extent because of that, and not having resources. And then I suppose the kind of career I chose with the Salvation Army, we were not paid exuberantly at all.
But it meant you could be satisfied with relatively little, so it gave you that option.
That's right, we kind of knew how to make... I think it helped in the sense I knew how to make do with, you know, possibly what some might consider insufficient.
So I suppose, it affects your priorities, probably.
It quite definitely has, There's no doubt I'm better off now than I was back in my younger years, by far.
But it means as well, I suppose, that now there is a big focus, almost, as you said, on material things, and you would have found...
But it was really purely on the fact of getting by at that stage. Certainly there wasn't much option to, save money or anything.
Did you feel that it made you somehow distinct from your friends? Were they better off than
I
you?
Don't think you felt... You really didn't feel that way because you really didn't know how well off they were or not in any way.
It wasn't demonstrable from, you know, they had a brand new shiny bike and you didn't or something.
Oh, no, not many bikes around anyway, unless they were old ones. We had an old bike, but it was second hand. My sister bought a brand new Monarch from the Farmers Trading Company, paid 2 and 6 a week, or 1 and 6 a week, or something.
Oh, so
he's
you
he's grinning.
So you buy sort of on what would you call it? Higher purchase?
It was a higher purchase, and the Farmers Trading would send out a thing, didn't they? And you could buy these things at I think it was 1 and 6 or something. It was, wasn't much.
What about leisure activities?
Well, leisure activities, a lot of them you made yourself. You didn't have much option but to do that, or you did sort of things with the family. But they were fairly local because we never, as a family, never had a car. I can remember on one occasion my father borrowing a car from the person he worked for, which was one of the, I haven't a clue what kind of car it was, but it was one of the square-bodied kind of cars. Seven of us fitted into that car somehow.
So he'd passed a driving test, or didn't he need a driving test then?
I don't know. My father was driving it. I presume he had a driver's license, but he, we went on a big expedition to Dannevirke from Woodville. That might not sound like much of an exposition, but we got halfway.
In those days,
it was. But there were seven of us in the car. We got halfway up the Matahiwi Hill. I don't know. It's a hill between Woodville and Dannevirke, which was quite steep in those days, and quite windy. The trains even struggled to get up there in those days, the steam trains. And we got halfway up there and the car boiled. So steam came out. Unfortunately, there was a little creek flowed under the road, and I think we ultimately had to sit there for some time till the engine cooled down, and then filled it up from the creek, water from the creek, and so as that we could continue our trip to Dannevirke. We went and visited friends of my parents, kind of thing. Can't remember it being terribly interesting, the visiting, but
the journey was
interesting in the fact that, and that was common for people. I mean, for cars to boil.
Oh yes,
since retiring, we have been in a bus that did the same thing up the Whanganui River, and they used all people's hot, water bottles to fill the radiator.
Right.
So that the bus could get home again. so that's just an aside. But no, there was a regular athletic sports on during the summer, and you go up to the local recreation ground for that, and you'd run what races you thought you were good at, and usually got beaten, but never mind.
So what sports did you do? Were they...
Sports, when we were at school, because of the size of the school, you ended up... I can remember one year, towards the end of my schooling, we used to play sport mainly between Ekatahuna High School, District High School, Paiatua District High School, and Woodville were the three places. And we used to play rugby first, but netball would have been the two things that were played between those. Pāhiatua normally won because they were the biggest school, had the most people to choose from. And then they, with the rugby, they chose a representative team, which they called the Northern Bush, the Bush Secondary School Reps. And they played the Southern Wairarapa, it would have been the Southern Wairarapa because it was Featherstone and Carterton and Greytown. They played them once a year sort of thing. We played somebody else, they played someone else too. And one year I managed to get into that team for one game, only one game. But the game I missed out on, they got thrashed no end by a school in Masterton, which I can't remember, so I wasn't to blame for that. So that was good. We played hockey, and between inter-school hockey between, so you could play rugby one week and play hockey the next, if you kind of thing, quite easily. We played in the school played in the Manawatū competition when I was, would have been at secondary school, I suppose. We used to come over here to play. we played a bit in Woodville. There was a hockey ground there, and the women's hockey was very strong in the bush, bush area at that stage. And we used to play hockey on a Saturday.
Was netball big, Muriel, in those days?
Sorry?
Was netball big in those days?
It was called basketball.
It was basketball. So you could move with the ball?
No, it's called basketball
in
those days.
It's called basketball, and you had the three sections.
Yeah.
And if you were in the centre, you could only be in the centre.
Oh, okay.
If you were in the goal, keep, goal, defence, you were down that end, and you couldn't go to the centre, and the other end was the same. So you had to stay in your court.
Okay.
Stay in your third the whole time.
Oh, right. Okay. And if you had the ball, you had to stand still?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
So you had to pass. You had to stand
pass.
Still to pass.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And you could pass it between the different sections.
Yes. Yeah.
And you see, hockey's changed dramatically too since those days because the moment the ball, you couldn't hit it with the back of your stick, and if it happened accidentally, you were penalised. You were continually penalised for. And then you could be offside so easily in hockey, and you kick the ball easy in hockey. And these days, it's much more freewheeling. You couldn't raise the stick above your shoulder because that was dangerous. Now, that doesn't seem to matter anymore. And they can hit the ball in the air, which you were never allowed to hit the ball in the air kind of thing. That was dangerous.
Yeah.
So things have certainly changed.
So actually, although we've gone in so many areas towards safety and precautions about everything, when it comes to
sport,
sport or hockey at least, it's sport. What about rugby? Do you feel that that's changed?
Rugby was different too, because you see, the ball was kept on the ground to a large extent, except when it was passed from hand to hand. The ball was on the ground, and one of the things that I can remember quite clearly was rucking.
The ball's on the ground, so you weren't running with the ball.
You could run with the ball, but in a sense, it was either on the. It seemed to be.
You're not high kicks and that sort of thing.
Yes, there were kicks and things like that, but a lot more of the game seemed to be played on the ground, and the fact that the forwards got the ball and the ball was kept down you rucked the ball back with your feet kind of thing. There was a lot of that going on in rugby. It was pretty slow. And
I think, sort of stop-go type game instead of
and
flowing.
Hockey was like that. And so, you know, I think they changed the rules to try and get the games moving faster. But most probably in some ways they've now, because it moves so much faster, more people get hurt. Most probably is the outcome of that, and possibly netball's the same. I can't imagine netball in the old days, anybody getting injured very easily, except from a flying elbow or something like that. But
I suppose once you get the professional thing and people are trained to a higher level, like in rugby, the impacts now would be much more probably.
I can't remember many people really getting hurt in rugby, even in those days. And I think it was because the ball was the way it was played, you know, it was a much slower, much slower game than what it is now. So,
okay, so there was sport. Now, you mentioned athletics, then I cut in with this, but was it just certain traditional things? Did you have javelin and discus?
No, not in Woodville. mainly it was race, you know.
Just running athletic, high jump, long jump, triple jump.
Even long jumps and high jumps were difficult, but they did have them. But I think even maintaining in towns like that, jumping pits and things. Nobody would want to jump too high in case they broke their leg when they came down, really. There were things like that, No javelins, I can't remember. Not in Woodall, we heard javelin throw. No.
Discus or shot put?
No, they didn't even have those, no. Yeah. I can't remember them, but then I wasn't participating.
Were there swimming sports?
Yeah, they had. Yes, there were swimming galas. Yeah, they had them in the pool. It was a 33 and a third pool.
Yeah.
Yard pool. I think it still is at that size. I don't think they've extended it. Because it's still in the same place.
Yeah, not your typical size for...
No, just they were all they were all that size, 33 and a third yards. Even the one when we had the Palmerston North Boys High School swimming sports.
Okay.
They were held in what was the Kiwi Bars, and which is the street that
runs. Oh, Ashley Street.
Ashley Street.
Yeah. Yep.
And that was only a 33.
Oh, okay. So that's that's just about 30 metre.
That's a third of a...
Third of a 100 metres, yes. Yeah. 100 yards.
And you see, the school, the actual pool at the boys' high school was only 25, if I remember rightly. 25 yards.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. Right. And a lot of school pools would have been only 25 yards.
Yeah, that's what
at
I was
most.
Thinking, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A lot would have been even smaller than that. I don't know what Tokaroa's was.
Oh, the primary, a lot of the primary school ones. That are, most of them are closed now.
But they were all quite small.
So were they well maintained? The water would be clean, or was it ever heated? No?
Not necessarily.
So green and freezing cold.
Oh, not well. No, they were better than green, I would think, in most cases, weren't they? Or I'm talking from my... I can't
go on, Muriel. What colour were you...
Well, our swimming pool was the creek was diverted into the swimming pool.
Oh, so you regularly change the water. That's
no. And then at the end of the year, it was released back into the creek.
Oh, okay.
So it had 12 months.
No. It was only from October through to March.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Well, even so, for an outdoor pool to warm up, it would still be pretty cool in October.
It was pretty cold, and it was a bit murky.
Yeah. So someone who used to be involved with school swimming pools said there was a sort of guideline, if the water's 20 degrees or above, that's okay for swimming, which is sort of bearable. I remember in England it always seemed terribly cold.
It was pretty cold. It always seemed to me to be pretty cold.
Yeah, but we were tougher in those days, weren't we?
I think we were a bit tougher in some ways tougher. Mm. Yeah, so...
So what about, was there much in the way of, say, music and drama or films, television, radio?
No, that's an interesting one. I mean, there was no television. Radio was the key thing. If you wanted to listen to anything, you had to listen to a radio, and then they didn't work very well.
Oh, you got poor reception in Woodford.
Oh, poor reception, very poor reception. I remember sort of on a Saturday they used to broadcast rugby. Mm. On the national program, and I kind of used to spend, in the afternoon, it would be club rugby from Wellington kind of thing, but they had a few All Blacks, and you kind of, and you'd have to kind of stand up by the radio with your ear near the, we mightn't have had a very good radio, might have been nothing, but stand up by the radio and you'd fiddle with the knobs and try and get on the station properly, and you couldn't, and it was sort of coming and going because the reception wasn't great, and even radio was not very good. Not that great.
So were people building crystal sets?
There were crystal sets. I never built one.
Thank you for listening to Manawatu Conversations. This and other recent programs can also be found on the Manawatu People's Radio website, and a range of programs is also available on the Manawatu Heritage website of the Palmerston North City Archive. The address for that is manawatuheritage.pncc.govt.nz.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.